Madam Clerk, we have called the meeting to order and we're ready for roll call.
Ms. Therrien?
Here.
Mr. Cleaworth?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
Mayor O'Neill?
Here. We have a quorum. Ms. Sprinkle, would you please read the land acknowledgement?
We respectfully acknowledge the Dena people upon whose traditional lands we reside. We honor the Dena who have been the stewards of interior lands and waters for centuries, the elders who have lived here before, the Dena people of today and future generations to come. We also recognize that Alaska Native people would traditionally gather here and harvest native foods.
If you're able, please stand for the invocation and Pledge of Allegiance.
As we gather to serve the people of Fairbanks, may we draw strength and patience and understanding from one another. Let us approach our work with open minds and open hearts, remembering that every person in our community has a story that matters. May the decisions we make here tonight help build a Fairbanks that is stronger, more connected, and more resilient for everyone who calls it home.
Ms. Therrien, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This evening, we do not have any ceremonial matters, so we will move to item six, citizens' comments. I have one person signed up for this evening, Ms. Arlette Byrie. Okay, great. That's all good. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on citizens' comments this evening? All right, we'll close citizens'.
Mayor, we do have somebody signed up online. I apologize.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I can't see my list of folks, so maybe you could tell me who that is.
Sure. It's Mr. Jared Welsh. I'll bring him in now.
Oh, great.
Mr. Welsh.
Good evening, Mr. Welsh. Please state your name for the record and spell your last name. You'll have 3 minutes for testimony.
Jared Welsh, last name spelled W-E-L-S-H. I'm a resident of Fairbanks, and I'm here to speak about housing challenges in our city. Many residents face high housing costs combined with maintenance and condition issues in some rental properties, including heating and insulation problems during our winters. Recent market data shows average rents in the Fairbanks area generally ranging from about $1,300 to $1,700 on higher depending on the unit. One local resident has used personal resources to develop designs for affordable, easy-to-assemble housing specifically suited for Arctic conditions. These efforts have not advanced through formal local partnerships or support. Personnel assigned to Fort Wainwright sometimes experience delays in securing suitable family housing. Military guidance notes that in some cases, service members may need to complete their move to Alaska before their families can join them due to housing availability. To help increase housing supply in the city of Fairbanks, I respectfully suggest the following actions. To help increase housing supply in the city of Fairbanks, I think we should first expand and simplify rules for accessory dwelling units and create a fast-track permitting process for modular, Arctic-rated housing to get units built faster. Second, support local innovators developing climate-appropriate housing through technical assistance or pilot projects. Third, strengthen enforcement of basic housing quality and safety standards, particularly heating and insulation, while offering compliance assistance to property owners. And fourth, improve coordination with Fort Wainwright Housing Services and explore targeted incentives to encourage new construction and rehabilitation. These steps are within the city's authority and can be pursued through zoning updates, policy changes, and collaboration with partners. I'm available to provide any more information or connect with individuals if necessary. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Welsh. Are there any questions? No questions from the council. Appreciate you being back here again. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on citizens' comments?
Mayor, I did have someone else signed up. That would be Chris Lilly, but I don't see him present. I just wanted to state for the record that I did note him, but he's not present online.
Okay. So noted. Thank you. We'll move on to the next item of our agenda, approval of agenda and consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Ms. Therrien? Seconded by Ms. Sprinkle. Does any council member wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Mr. Cleaver.
Thank you, Mayor. New business, item 14A, resolution number 5214.
Okay. Is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Clerk, please read the items approved or advanced on the consent agenda into the record.
The consent agenda approved the regular meeting minutes of April 27th, 2026. It also advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6348, an ordinance amending various sections of the Fairbanks General Code dealing with nuisances, sponsored by Mayor O'Neill. It also accepted the Fairbanks Diversity Council meeting minutes of March 10th, 2026. Then we are moving right on to special orders. The first item, the Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following alcohol license applications for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. I'll read the license number and doing business as name into the record. License 4168, Food Factory. License 15370, Lat 65 Brewing Company, that's the winery retail license. License 15329, Lat 65 Brewing Company, the retail brewery retail license. And license 4831, Irishai Japanese Restaurant.
Is there any citizen wishing to speak on these alcohol license renewal applications? If so, please come forward and state your name and area of residence for the record. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Anyone at all? Clerk, has anyone signed up online to speak to this matter?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Council, is there a motion to waive protest? Ms. Sprinkle? Seconded by Ms. Therrien. Discussion? All right. Madam Clerk, on the motion to waive protest.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
With the motion to waive protest passes with a vote of 6 yeses to 0 noes.
The next item under unfinished business is a notice of intent to rescind the council's action to protest the Block 13 new beverage dispensary tourism license. That action was taken on May 11th. A public hearing will be held only if the motion is made, seconded, and passes to rescind.
I move to rescind the City Council's vote on May 11th to protest the Block 13 hotel application for a new beverage dispensary tourism license. Is there a second? Ms. Therrien for the second. Any discussion on the motion to rescind? Ms. Therrien.
I was contacted by the person involved with the application and had advised us that, and I want to be clear, they couldn't make the meeting because they were involved with two or three hotels at Denali Park and they had lost the capacity to provide 40,000 gallons of water a day. And we're so involved with trying to get parts and stuff because everybody was moving in on the 17th that they were unable to come and talk to us about their application for the beverage dispensary tourism license. He also talked to me about how the a lot of the tourism individuals that would provide locking rooms at the Spring Hill Suites required a restaurant in order for them to book the hotel rooms, and that without the beverage dispensary license that we could lose a lot of tourists coming into Fairbanks. So he did say that they have about 250 employees and that they spend $1.2 million in bed tax for the for their rooms, and that I thought
Ms. that Therian. Oh, sorry. Before we get into the subject of the context of the matter, we just need to pass a motion to rescind, so then we'll put the matter back on the table. So to your motion, on the motion to rescind, is there any more discussion? Ms. Tidwell?
I guess I can appreciate that there was a reason why they weren't here. I know that we've had other businesses that couldn't make it, and we've gone back to hearing what they have to say and given them the opportunity, but I think at some point we should expect them to be here when they're scheduled to be here. You know, if we would have known that they couldn't make it ahead of time, maybe I would feel differently, but I think at some point we should expect people to show up when their license is being heard, not after we've taken an action that they don't like. So that frustrates me.
Mr. Marnie, on the motion to rescind.
Well, I know they have a local manager. I've not met her. I don't know her name, perchance, but they do have a person that's in charge of the hotel over there. And I know that our wonderful city clerk reached out to somebody before the meeting last week and indicated it would be important that they attend.
Mr. Ringstad, on the motion to rescind.
I felt like I didn't know a lot. We heard one side of the story last week, and now I'm hearing another side of the story, and for whatever reason, I mean, I hate to rush through things and say, okay, we got to do it this week, and by not getting enough information, sometimes we make mistakes, unintended consequences. So I think we should listen and say, okay, what do we know now that we didn't know then?
Ms. Sprinkle,
are they here tonight?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Clerk, please call the roll on the motion to rescind.
Mr. Marnie?
No.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
No.
Ms. Sprinkle?
No.
Ms. Therian? Ms. Tidwell?
No.
The motion to rescind fails by a vote of two yeses to four noes, which means that we move on to the next item on our agenda. Which is the mayor's comments and report. At this time, I'd like to invite Brenda McFarland to the front to give us an update on community response coordination, ambassador program training, and walking challenge. Lots of stuff going on.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll start with a Golden Heart challenge because I have some flyers for this that you can pick up after. The mayor put this out on social media today, but I was really hoping if you're involved in a organization like a Rotary or business that you would be able to put this out to people to participate. We want to get people out walking and engaging in downtown. So please tell your friends. And if you want to lead up a challenge, like if you're part of an organization, that would be great. It would be great help from the city council. The next one is the city ambassador. We have a training on that starting next week. We have had about 20 people sign up, so that's exciting. We've met with VIP, Volunteers in Policing, Festival Fairbanks, and get their feedback. And the mayor arranged a de-escalation meeting with Downtown Association, which is on Wednesday. So we're going to start with that and maybe recruit some more city ambassadors there, and then have a training the next week for the people that are signed up. We're thinking two people in a shift, and them really having access and all the information about the response teams we have, and being an important observer, important reporter, important witness to things that they may encounter, but not a direct intervener. So we're thinking friendly engagement, walking around, getting to know business owners, getting to know the people, but we're not asking them to be security or some kind of quasi mobile crisis team. We have an awesome mobile crisis team. We have emergency service patrol. And so we don't need more of those, although, you know, maybe one day. But right now we just want members of the public to really like own the space and own the community issues that we need to work together for solutions. For the community response coordinator, there's a lot going on. I visited the tiny homes in Anchorage at the beginning of the month. That was really interesting. Got to hear some lessons learned about, you know, having a separate shower house and bathroom when you're housing people into them that have mobility issues. So you might have an ADA accessible tiny home, but then if they have to walk across the ice covered gravel parking lot to get to the bathroom, then you still have an issue with someone that has mobility challenges. And, you know, we still have the mobile crisis team going. ESP is going phenomenally. Fairbanks Integrated Community Services, there was an article about them in the paper. So if you didn't get a chance to read that, I definitely take a look at that. They're also the operator of the new Heart Street Outreach Team we just started with the opioid settlement funds that we had. And so we're setting up a workflow that as we get the encampments reports coming in, that the police can go and do what they need to do with determining what kind of land they're on, what needs to be posted. I can refer to the Heart Street Outreach Team for them to go out and outreach with them. And I'm really excited about that. Mike has really encouraged us to be force multipliers. So even though it would be cool for me to be going out and doing the outreach and spending my entire summer going out there, hoping with this team that, you know, I can still continue doing what I'm doing with my job and they can be going out and doing outreach. And then lastly, you'll see it later on the gender, it was on the consent agenda. I'm not sure all that stuff, but we're applying for Alaska Housing for $275,000 worth of rental assistance funds. And there's different landlords that we've been chatting with that have different kind of maybe transitional housing options, because I really envision wanting to get people out of congregate settings. So it'd be like a warming center or a shelter as soon as possible, into their own units to stabilize. And our community paramedics are already working fantastically with people. So is FISC. And if we can get them out of a setting where they might be surrounded by substances, I think they'll be more likely to pursue recovery and housing independence. So we'll have that if we're awarded. We may not be. Sometimes with these grants, they already kind of have the four projects that they want to work with. So who knows? But if we are, that would give us some money for rental assistance. And that's pretty much everything I've been working on.
Ms. Therrien.
Brenda, thank you for your report. When I was reading about the article in the paper, it didn't mention that they work with a community paramedic. And I don't know if they just, and I just wanted to make sure that they're all coordinating because nothing was mentioned about the community paramedic.
Yes, they work together all the time. A lot of their calls have overlap. They'll often be at places together helping people.
Okay. I wanted to also take a moment and recognize Owen Ackerman, who's in the back of the room here, who has joined us today. It was his first day as our reentry intern, and he is working very closely with Brenda on all of those programs, and we are just thrilled to have him here for the summer. So welcome, Owen. Look forward to working with you. Next, we have Assemblymember Roach with the assembly update.
Thank you. So I think really I just have two things to report on. I don't know if Ms. Kelly touched on this in her last report, but we did approve the lowest responsive bid for the animal shelter. We had allocated $34 million for the project, and the lowest bid came in at $17 million. Staggering and surprising savings, but very good news. And then, of course, we passed the budget, which was also good news. Pretty non-controversial for the most part. Early on in the process, there was a pickle court added, and scoping for a field house that was removed both by amendment. The pickleball lobby is a powerful and persuasive lobby. They come with paddles. Unfortunately, later on, the pickleball court was removed by amendment, and the scoping for the field house was reintroduced. There was an amendment passed to add about $600,000 in tax relief so that the property tax rate would stay flat. There was another amendment to add $10 million in tax relief that failed. Somewhat controversially, there about $5 million of the school district's SWEP funds were included into our contribution of $65 million to the school district. There was an amendment to change that, to amend that, so that it was that part of the contribution would come from our debt service fund, and that amendment failed. And I think that's about it.
Any questions for Assemblymember Roach? Mr. Cleworth.
I don't know that you have an answer for this, but I'm wondering why the discrepancy in the borough's estimate and the award for the animal shelter.
So we asked about that as well, and the one guess that we got was that we built the estimate on the cost of goods at the time that we put it together. There was the possibility that some builders had been holding on to materials and kind of picking and choosing their projects, and they had accumulated all the materials they needed for the most part when prices were significantly lower, and they were just waiting for the project that they wanted, and this was the one, and they were able to do it and undercut basically the market. We were told that this is someone that we have worked with before without any issues, but some assembly people did express concern that it was so much lower than we expected. They were responsive. There didn't seem to be any glaring issues, and they do have a proven track record. But no definite answer. Maybe they found a semi-truck somewhere, kind of fell off the back of the truck.
Any other questions for Assemblymember Roach? Thanks for being here this evening. Really appreciate it. Good to see you. Next, we'll move to council member comments. Mr. Cleworth.
Just on item, thank you, Mayor. Brenda was just here. Did she leave already? Yeah, no, she's here. Just thank you for the handout. You have copies in your benches. This is kind of a total list, but maybe not total, of all the services that are provided in the community that are aimed at homeless and others. I know we're going to have discussions on this down the road, what to do, what not to do, and it's just a good starting point. So thank you again for doing that.
Ms. Therrien? Ms. Sprinkle?
Nothing, thank you.
Mr. Ringstead?
Just a quick comment. Brenda, with her miscellaneous comments, reminded me I was doing a follow-up appointment with my doctor last week, and she made a point of mentioning what a great program she thinks that we're running with our community paramedics, that they're seeing it and they like it from her perspective as a doctor in town, that it's a great step forward.
Thank you. Mr. Marnie?
I'll defer to the second round, please.
Ms. Tidwell?
Me too. I'll wait.
All right. Next up, unfinished business.
That would be ordinance number 6347, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code, Chapter 46, Article 4, Division 4, Illegal Campsites, sponsored by Mayor O'Neill. This is second reading and public hearing.
Is there any citizen wishing to speak to ordinance number 6347? If so, please come forward and state your name and area of residence for the record. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Is there anyone? Is there anyone online, Madam Clerk?
No one has signed up, ma'am.
Mr. Sanders, would you please give a staff report?
Sure. So there's really no change to this. We've had two work sessions and a council meeting about it already. We're essentially just amending the code so that it matches more of what is actually done. We're changing some of the stuff from 3-day notices to 24-hour notices just to just for safety factors. And knowing that logistically we prefer to do the 10-day notice because then we don't have to store, all the items as long. So that's really the only change, changing from the 3 days to 24 hours. So.
Great. Council, do I hear a motion to adopt Ordinance 6347?
Motion to adopt.
Ms. Tidwell, seconded by Mr. Ringstead. And discussion. Is there any discussion? Mr. Cleaver. Yeah,
thank you, Mayor. First, for the city attorney, did you have a chance to go through this? Okay.
Yes.
Just a couple questions. On page 205, under section 46-188, abatement, 10-day notice, the first sentence there reads, the city may post an illegal campsite with a notice stating all personal property not removed within 10 days of the date and time the notice is posted may be removed and disposed of as waste. The next sentence says, at the expiration of the 10-day period, personal property at legal campsites may be disposed of as waste. Do we really need that second sentence?
Thank you for that question, Mr. Cleworth. So it's important that it's in the first sentence because you're talking about the requirements for the notice itself. So it can't just say illegal campsite or don't camp here. It's got to actually say, and if you do, your stuff can be disposed of in 10 days. The second, if there's an amendment to remove that, I can see where it would be redundant.
Okay. I'm just going to make a motion to eliminate that second sentence.
Motion on the floor from Mr. Cleworth and seconded by Mr. Marnie. Mr. Cleworth, could you please repeat your motion and where it is in the ordinance?
Sure. The motion was simply to eliminate that second sentence there. At the expiration of the 10-day period, personal property at the illegal campsite may be disposed of as waste.
Okay. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing no objection, so moved. Mr. Cleworth, do you have more to add?
More of a question this time, Mayor. The section that immediately follows that says, in the circumstances where the police chief has determined that an illegal campsite possesses an imminent danger, This essentially speeds up the process. Is that correct? And would it be the police chief's call as to when to implement that as opposed to the section before it?
I'm going to field that question. I think that's the intent there. You know, the emergency notice is intended for folks that are truly camping in a dangerous situation. So you think of somebody setting up a campsite in a right-of-way or at an entrance to a parking lot or something like that. I mean, it really is something that we, on review, felt like we needed to have a little bit more of an immediate response. The discretion to that was given to the police chief to determine what was or was not an urgent situation.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Any further discussion, questions, amendments? All right. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the motion to adopt Ordinance 6347.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Mr. Marney?
Yes.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes.
Mr. Cleaworth?
Yes.
The motion to adopt Ordinance number 6347 passes by a vote of 6 yeas and 0 nays. Next up in new business.
Item A was pulled. That's resolution number 5214, a resolution to form a partnership agreement between the City of Fairbanks and Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Services to participate in the SFY26 Alaska Recovery Housing Program, sponsored by Mayor O'Neill.
Move to adopt.
So motion to advance by Mr. Cleworth, seconded by Ms. Sprinkle.
Motion to adopt.
To adopt.
Not advance.
Thank you for that correction, Mr. Cleworth. Motion to adopt. Mr. Cleworth.
Yeah, thank you. I just pulled this for clarification with our CFO here. On the fourth whereas, it says the City of Fairbanks will be reimbursed for all costs associated with this program from FNHS. Would that include lost interest?
No, it will not include loss of interest. But the city would be reimbursed. It would be very similar to any other grant that we have. We would absorb the cost and then put in the paperwork to have it reimbursed.
Okay. I'm not going to vote against it, but when it says all costs, that is a cost to us. We've lost the earning capacity of those dollars until we are reimbursed.
That is true. But the turnaround, our hope is the turnaround will be quickly. So the loss will be minimal, if any.
Thank you.
Mr. Ringstead.
Full disclosure here, just in case anybody forgot, I'm still on the Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Services Board.
Do they pay you well?
Better or worse than the council? Mr. Marney?
So are there, the only thing that I question in here is individuals, this is at the bottom of the fiscal note, says individuals recovering from substance abuse disorders. Is that the only string to this, Brenda, that you've got to be an ex-drug addict to get a, I mean, to me, we should open this up to other people, but.
Ms. McFarland?
So this is the stipulation of the Alaska Housing Grant.
Okay.
It did say recovery in general terms, so I think you could also say recovery from, like, mental health crisis, but you need to be in recovery from something.
Would alcohol be involved in that?
Yes. Alcohol is always considered in with substance use disorders when it just says substance use disorders.
Okay. Well, yep. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Therrien.
I was just wondering if our attorney could think of another word besides all costs to be clear that we're not getting interest. Or is it minimal? So I hate to pass something that's not correct.
If counsel wanted, they could strike the word all.
Yeah.
So it just said for costs associated with the program.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we strike the word all in the fourth whereas.
Is there a second? Mr. Ringstad on the second. Any opposition? No opposition? So moved.
Does that satisfy your concern, Jerry?
It was more just curiosity on
okay.
my part.
Okay.
I just... When I read it, I thought, well, that must include interest, but apparently it doesn't. So, which is a little caveat, yeah.
Mr. Martin?
Well, would it be appropriate if we have Ms. Winters make a statement or, you know, she's so involved and it must not be appropriate.
No. That's sorry. I didn't mean to light you up on that. just for... the benefit of our clerk, so and myself. So the strike all and the whereas, that was approved unanimously without objection. Is that?
Without okay. objection.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Now we're moving on, Mr. Marnie. Ms. Winters, would you like to give us an overview?
Winters, Executive Director of Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Services. This is another HFC grant that's recently come up, and so we're going to apply, and basically the mechanics of it are is that the city identifies the people, you send us a bill, we send you a check, and that's how it works. It's simple. We've done that for a couple other Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing, as John knows, does all things housing, but we try not to do mission creep, but we're certainly here to assist other organizations to secure funding for needs. So that's basically what the deal is here. And it's actually fairly simple. We're the ones that are carrying the cost, actually, because you guys incur an expense, you send it to us, we send you a check, and then we get reimbursed quarterly by HFC. So we're carrying the cost for the quarter. You guys are basically doing it for 30 days. So just so you know, it's a smoking hot deal if you choose to accept it. Sorry.
Yeah. Ms. Frinkle.
Nadine, how many people might get helped by this? Is there...
You can apply for up to a little over $200,000, and you can do temporary housing assistance, I think, for up to 24 months. They're considering temporary. So quite a bit. I mean, a couple hundred thousand dollars. And I haven't done the math on how many. The maximum rent that you can go per individual per month is $1,220. So basically, you know, do 1,220 divided by two into
right.
200 grand, and it's quite a bit.
Yeah, good.
Quite a bit.
Thank you.
Mr. Clewer.
Hi, Nadine.
Hi.
Question for you on the third whereas. It says the city of Fairbanks has identified individuals that would be eligible for this program and can provide payments, release, and so on and so forth. In the management of this, if somebody does not do that, how is that handled?
Well, we're relying on the city to basically identify the people. Essentially what we do is say, we're relying on the city to do that. So if the city does not do that, quite frankly, I hadn't thought about what would happen in that case. We've done another one similar to this, HFC money for BHAP, which is Basic Housing Assistance Program, and we're acting as fiscal agent for some of the nonprofits in town that are working direct services with homeless, and they're dealing with the clients directly. They incur expenses. They send me receipts. I send them a check. So that's basically how it works, that we're relying on the nonprofits, or in this case the city, to send us clients or incur expenses. Does that make sense? Does that answer the question?
I think she wants to add something.
So, for example, our community paramedics that are already working with people that they know that need housing, then they can go ahead and pay their application fee, help them do the application, pay their deposit, pay their first month of rent, and then when they get done with that month, submit the invoice to Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing for reimbursement. So we don't have to wait for the turnaround that would be at the city. and it will be people that are already doing direct service. It won't be like me and Mike being like, that person needs housing. It will be people that are working with people already. So when I went to Chief Kakaro with this, is, do your community paramedics have people that need to go into housing? And of course, it's yes, and need that help. So that's primarily, but we also have FISC that's doing the emergency service patrol that could identify people with people. We have the mobile crisis team that can identify people. Marsha with reentry can identify people. So we'll have a lot of people that can identify. And then I just want to specify for this grant, it's a limit on the rent payments can only be up to 12 months. The really cool thing with this grant is you can also pay 12 months of utilities, which will help with the cost of electric. And you don't normally pay oil with a rental, but if we did have that.
If they do not, if the tenant does not, for whatever reason, make those payments, then what is the procedure?
So if the, when I have done housing programs before, and how I would write this is if they are not participating with this program with the community paramedics and they refuse to meet with them, then you disenroll them, you exit them from your program. If then they do not continue to pay the landlord, then they get evicted. And so you work with the landlord as much as possible to have that good relationship, but they don't just keep getting a year of funding if they're not doing anything with your program. That's how I've written them.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Byrne.
Are there other programs that would benefit this the housing crisis that the city has? Yeah.
I don't think I understood the question. Can you say?
Other programs or grants or something that we could apply for that would help the further need?
As they come up, we'll definitely like bring them to city council. This was the first one that's kind of come up since I took on this new role January 1st for this amount of money. Right before I took on the role, there was basic homeless assistance program and Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing. I encouraged them to apply for it. And FISC and Fairbanks Youth Advocates are the two partners on that one, and so they can recommend people. But I know Nadine might know of other housing funding that's out there, but this is the big one that she actually forwarded on to the city, so thank you for that, because I wasn't getting the information on it.
Mayor, I think if our clerk can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we have Nadine scheduled to be at our work session the first week of June and talking about housing program, and we can get into some depth in there. It's, I mean, she's our local expert here, so if we want more discussion, that was kind of the idea. I think Crystal had brought it up a while ago, so we're scheduled, I think, for June 2nd, right?
I'm showing up. Sprinkle.
So I guess, are we applying for a grant to allow this to happen, or is this already this is already something we can do?
Yeah, no, this is a competitive proposal. We're submitting it on Friday. I think the deadline is on Friday.
Okay, so we may not get it, I guess.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
We're not. But last time we did the BHAP one, and it was pretty competitive statewide, and we were right up there, number one.
So. Great. Good. Thank you. All right.
Ms. Therrien?
Yes. Well, we were talking about whether or not mental health issues are involved in this, and where the second whereas says in recovery from substance abuse orders. Do you think we should say in mental health issues so that it's not limited?
I would suggest substance use and behavioral health disorders, if that was okay.
Behavioral health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, substance use and behavioral health.
Okay, Mayor, I would move that we add after the words substance abuse disorders and mental behavioral issues.
Okay.
Behavioral health.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, behavioral health issues. Thank you.
So I think it would read, in recovery from substance use and behavioral health disorders. Is that right?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any objection? Seeing none, so moved.
And, Your Honor, just a question. Under the comments on the back, do we need to change mental health disorders as well, and just the comments from?
My understanding is that substance use disorders could include mental health. So it's already implied, and this is just from the grant.
But we just amended the front. I'm wondering whether or not we should amend the notes where it says total the city owes.
We don't think we need to.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, any objection to this resolution? Oh, we do need a roll call.
Yes, for clarification, Ms. Therian's amendment to amend that whereas, who was the second on that? I apologize.
Somebody that never turns his mic on.
Thank you, Mr. Ringstein. Okay, on the motion to adopt resolution number 5214 as amended, Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstein?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Therian?
Yes.
With a motion of 6-0, the ordinance, the resolution 5214 is passed. We're now to the city clerk report. Committee reports and council member comments. Excuse me, at the bottom of my list. Ms. Therian.
We were supposed to have a legislative committee meeting this past Wednesday. When I called in, Yuri said he was 50 minutes late, that Mike wasn't available, and the mayor wasn't available. I don't know, John, if you tried to get involved in it either.
I talked to Yuri, and, yeah, he was scrambling.
Yeah. So we did have one.
Just comments on what I'm hearing are, because I did talk with Yuri afterwards, our baby box bill is sitting there. His understanding is it's in the queue, ready to go. Nobody has told him that it's not going to go. We've been led to believe that it will happen, but we're down to the last, whatever it is, 5 days. They're finally starting to move some bills to the floor and get something done. So we're hoping it's going to be in one of those long calendars in the next couple of days for that.
I'd like to add our legislation to be able to bill for redacting is probably going to go nowhere this year.
Any other comments, Ms. Therian?
With regard to everything else? Mm-hmm. I just think reading the minutes of the Fairbanks Diversity Council, I'm really glad to see that the mayor is going to start chairing the meetings and get much more involved. The issue about this liquor license for Block 13, I feel bad that after somebody comes and flies up to speak to us that we didn't give them the opportunity to say things, because sometimes we do that, sometimes we don't. And since we're not going to have another meeting before May 30th, Golden Heart Rotary Club is celebrating their 20 years anniversary, May 30th at the Salmon Bake, and I know I've asked the mayor to come say a few words, so. And I know that my Rotary Club does a lot of good for the community. Thank you.
Mr. Cleworth?
Thank you, Mayor. I, too, read the FDC minutes like Valerie did. And I guess the subject came up as to original intent. And former council member Rogers had asked for contacting former Mayor Eberhardt to talk to him about it. we could probably garner that from the minutes of those meetings as well, when it was up, for, when it was created, as to what the intent was. But just speaking from my memory, and it might be faulty at this point, one of the main purposes was to help in hiring at the city of Fairbanks. The Diversity Council would represent a lot of different groups in town, have connections that we may not have. So the idea was to be kind of our ambassadors, that we've got some great jobs and we would like to get as many different folks from different parts of the community as possible. That's my memory on it. And it, I know over the years they've struggled with things and what to do or what not to do, but just for your information, that was mine. It's supposed to be a great tool for us, and they go to job fairs, be kind of ambassadors for the city and through their various organizations to try and encourage people to apply for jobs, especially in those years at the police department. We were trying very hard to kind of diversify out, or get, but we couldn't do it if there was no applications. And the hope was that, that they would be a good resource for that. So, second, I guess the RFP for the cabin was in the paper on yesterday or somewhere, Sunday's paper. I'd like to see a copy of that. Maybe a question for Mike or anybody is there, are there any restrictions on that that we should know about, or is it wide open?
I mean, that's a loaded question, but I mean, you could check it out online. The entire RFP is there. That's okay. Why we post it, so everybody can see it. But I don't think there's anything that's overly restrictive about it. But I realize that's a political question, so I'll leave it alone.
I guess what I'm meaning is at the last meeting we talked about the addendum to the RFI that said it can only be a restaurant. Is there anything like that in there that you remember?
There's nothing saying that it can only be a restaurant.
Okay, I'll pull it up and read it, I guess. Thank you.
Councilmember Sprinkle?
I'm good. Thank you.
Councilmember Ringstad? Councilmember Barmy?
Well, follow through on Jerry's comment on the Diversity Council. It's improving. I've actually got people that are actually talking now. Before there would be just kind of silence and a couple of people and the mayor would kind of hold the conversation. So maybe baby steps, it's going to get there one day, I hope. And then on Saturday, I spent my 3 hours at the cemetery, Clay Street Cemetery, and picked up a bunch of leaves and was there about 3 hours and a bit of rain, and then it got pretty nice. So what a crew. And if any of you have never been through the cemetery, the new headstones were just a work of art. You know, it gave their birth dates, their passing date, and what they were when they were here. I was in a section, most of them had passed in 1932. And most of them were miners, and a couple of furrier, you know, people that trap furs and stuff. It's remarkable. I just recommend anybody in the city that if you've not gone by there, it's worthwhile.
Ms. Tidwell.
I, too, would just like to thank everybody that came out on Saturday in the community for cleanup day. It's always... it always surprises me how many groups of people are out there, how much trash gets picked up around Fairbanks. So great job, community. We do have a fast planning meeting coming up this week, so should have something to report back on that next time.
Thank you. My comments on the Diversity Council. We held a strategic plan, much like what we did with this council, and you all saw the outcomes of those. And it really has been helpful in having a plan for folks to look at and piece out really what we're doing. I realize the notes are a couple months delayed, so the last meeting that we had, we talked a lot about how we educate the community about diversity in different pockets, and also how, as a diversity council, we wanted to receive information about diverse communities and be allies or supports to them. It seems like, and we went like back to basics, like back to the code and back to the foundation of what it was. So Mr. Marnie's right. We do have a good group. They're engaged. I think they're just getting warmed up to sort of some new energy in the room. So I'm looking forward to that committee. Yeah, the RFP was posted on the website. It was advertised. I do encourage everyone on this body to talk to your friends and neighbors if you'd like them to apply. Then we're not, you know, in a similar situation that no one knows that it's out there. I want to, you know, say sorry to Mr. Levi and JL Properties. You know, it was pretty unfortunate what we saw today, and it's hard to say that it's really hard to work towards downtown Fairbanks and investment when we don't give folks an opportunity to say why they're investing in themselves. So I appreciate your business in downtown, appreciate your continued investment in downtown, and I look forward to working with you more. I really hope that our community sees not competition, but that when we have more businesses downtown, whether they have alcohol or not, that we're raising all boats and we're not competing against each other. I was really disheartened to hear that last time, that we would rather shut down a new business than have a new business to bring in more people downtown. I don't think that's the spirit of our community at all. Moving on to this weekend, I want to say thanks to the city employees. We had at least 6 events going on. We had the auction. We had folks participating in the Mental Health NAMI walk, the Heart Association walk. We had cleanup day. Public Works picked up over 2.4 tons of garbage. Yeah, okay. So just wanted to highlight that above and beyond their everyday jobs, they came in on the weekends and continue to serve this community, and their work is truly inspiring. We have such a great crew here. Finally, I guess I have 2 more things. One is this week is EMS week, so our emergency management services, highlighting, you know, the work that Chief Cocaro does with the city to prepare for emergencies that we have here or that we don't have here because we've been prepared. So thank you, Chief, for that, and just hug a firefighter if you can't this week. And finally, next week, Friday, May 29th, the City Hall will hold a press conference recognizing mental health awareness and all of the mental health services that we provide to the city, from the city and with our partners. So I invite each of you to come and stand with City Hall as we showcase what we are providing to mental health and raising awareness for that month. 11 a.m. on Friday the 29th. All right, with that, 17, move on to City Clerk's report.
Thank you, Mayor.
Oh, sorry, Ms. Therian has a question.
We did get an email from the co-op saying that they would be able to work pretty quick and get something in the cabin this summer so it wouldn't be empty. Is that something you're considering, or is this RFP for the cabin going to totally eliminate that offer?
Yeah, because we have an active RFP, there is no ability to put anybody in that cabin until we award an RFP based on the council's decision.
And when will that be When do the applications have to be submitted?
Do you know the procurement numbers?
They've got 3 weeks to get the their applications in. We did the planning on this. The earliest that the lease could be signed with RFP is August 13th, I believe, if we follow everything by code.
Anything this summer.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Ms. Sprinkle?
I guess you made a comment that because we asked for an RFP, we eliminated any ability to do something in the meanwhile. Is that something we said?
You can't. It would be inappropriate to put somebody in a cabin when it's out for RFP, especially somebody who would potentially be bidding on that.
Okay.
That would be a conflict of interest, right, and would be poor procurement practice.
Okay, just checking. Thank you.
All right, Madam Clerk, we're ready for you.
All I have to say is just thank you, Council, for putting up with me attending remotely this evening. I appreciate that. The conference is going well. I look forward to coming back.
And City Attorney's report.
Just a reminder for folks that might be listening that the City Hall will be closed on Monday in observance of Memorial Day, and that is all I have.
Thank you. We don't have an executive session, so at 7:32, we're adjourned.